KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, it's cloudy and 34 degrees in Atlantic. We look for cloudy skies to continue today with a high near 42. Good morning, I'm Rick Henson with KJAN State and Local News, brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. A new report shows the drought has officially ended in a wider section of eastern Iowa. A weekly USDA drought monitor shows 16% of the state is now out of drought conditions. That's up 7% a week from a week ago. State climatologist Terry Hilliker points out that 20% of the state remains in extreme drought conditions.
Still, in the long term, we do have some very substantial precipitation deficits, especially over north-central and northwestern Iowa, where there's still parts of that area is classified as extreme drought. Certainly not because of recent weather. We've been quite wet here for the last few months, and especially the last week or so.
The statewide average rainfall for this week is over 2.6 inches.
This has actually been our wettest week here since June of 2011, so wettest week in almost 2 years. So things have really been turning around here recently, but I say we still have a ways to go, especially as far as subsoil moisture, and especially the northwestern parts of the state.
Hilliker expects the next drought monitor will show even greater improvement across the state.
It is worth mentioning that the U.S. drought monitor, while it gets released every Thursday of each week, is actually based on weather conditions as of Tuesday morning. So it reflects conditions prior to when about half the rain from this last system came through. So things are even you might say more moist now than what the monitor is indicating.
The drought recovery in Iowa began last October, and the last 4 months have all been slightly wetter than normal, according to Hilliker. Meanwhile, the first 11 days of April have been extremely wet, and more rain is in the forecast for early next week. News time is 8:02.
Your spouse is frustrated, and you're not sure what you've done to warrant the cold shoulder and snippy retorts. At work, it seems like everyone else has a handle on the new project and is forging ahead, but you're struggling because you didn't quite catch the details on what you're supposed to do. Or maybe you feel left out when everyone in your coffee group laughs at the same time, but you don't get it. Did you miss something? This is Doug Leonard, audiologist at ASI. I hear these stories as patients finally come to the realization that they're missing out. The unfortunate part of the story is that I said finally. For whatever reason, many people believe that their difficulty isn't that big of a deal, or it's because of the actions of others. They mumble, they don't look at me when they speak, or any of a number of other excuses. But what they don't realize is that it's their hearing that's the problem. The sooner they take action to correct it, the shorter the rehab process will be, and the sooner their frustrations will fade. It starts with a simple evaluation. Call ASI today, with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll.
Governor Terry Branstad has declared disaster emergencies in 10 counties in northwest Iowa affected by recent severe weather. Branstad issued the proclamations Thursday for Clay, Dickinson, Emmett, Kossuth, Lyon, O'Brien, Osceola, Palo Alto, Plymouth, and Sioux counties. They were affected by damaging winds, heavy rains, thunderstorms, and freezing rain that began on Tuesday. It caused power outages from downed lines and poles and a large amount of debris, along with damage to public and private property. Branstad's proclamation allows the state to utilize its resources to remove debris and wreckage that may threaten public health and safety. Iowa Senator Tom Harkin has introduced a bill he says will address the need for major improvements in mental health care, highlighted by the school shootings in Newtown, Connecticut. Harkin, a Democrat, says the bill will reauthorize programs that focus on awareness, prevention, and early identification of mental health conditions with a focus on schools.
We haven't really trained teachers and other school people to recognize early onset of mental health problems and to seek appropriate services. The kid who is disruptive in school and maybe disciplined maybe really does need some mental health services. In terms of what's happening at home or stresses or other things that may affect their lives.
Harkin introduced the bill in the Senate Health, Education, Labor, and Pension Committee that he chairs.
Focus on schools, I think, is appropriate. But my bill doesn't just do that. I would say the major emphasis is on schools, but it also spills out into other aspects of society also.
He says schools are where the problems may first surface, but there's also training for others who may come into contact with those who need some help.
The other part of my bill also responds by focusing on first responders and training them to recognize mental health problems and getting them adequately trained. A lot of people just don't know how to recognize those symptoms.
Harkin says the Mental Health Awareness and Improvement Act passed the committee with support from both parties. He says most people can recover from mental health issues with the proper identification and treatment. State Treasurer Michael Fitzgerald is urging Governor Terry Branstad and state lawmakers to expand Medicaid in Iowa. Fitzgerald, a Democrat, said Thursday that a Medicaid expansion would cost the state less than an alternate plan proposed by Branstad. Fitzgerald is basing his analysis on data from the nonpartisan Legislative Services Agency and Senate Democrats. He says he's concerned about the state's fiscal health and how we spend our money. Branstad spokesman Jimmy Centers responded in a written statement that the governor doesn't want to, quote, engage in partisan bickering and continues to oppose expanding an antiquated program like Medicaid. Senate Democrats support expanding Medicaid as permitted under President Obama's health care plan. Branstad contends long-term Medicaid costs are unsustainable and has proposed expanding an existing program for low-income Iowans. A task force that is examining ways to improve the public information practices of Iowa's three public universities will hold four public hearings to gather input. The Board of Regents Transparency Task Force announced Thursday the first hearing will be held next Wednesday at Johnston High School. The public will be allowed to participate there or at several Iowa Communication Network locations. The group says speaking time will be limited to 3 minutes, and those wishing to speak should sign up in advance through its website. Dates for public hearings in Council Bluffs, Muscatine, and Dubuque will be announced next week. The task force says it will use the information gathered as it develops recommendations for improving transparency. A Senate panel has approved $964 million in spending for the state's public universities and a number of other education programs. The Senate Education Appropriations Committee Thursday approved an amended version of a measure already passed by the House. Because the Senate's version spends far more than the $895 million bill approved by the House, the measure will likely end up in a joint committee if it passes the full Senate. In a joint committee, the members of both chambers and parties try to work out compromises. The Senate-backed measure includes more money for student financial aid at state universities. It also includes some of the money for Governor Terry Branstad's proposed K-12 education reforms. A measure that would permit the use of all-terrain vehicles on some roads is gaining support in the Iowa legislature. The Senate Transportation Subcommittee approved a bill Thursday and moved it to the full Senate Ways and Means Committee. It had earlier passed the House in a 75-22 vote. The bill would require those who want to drive an ATV on county roads to register for a small fee with the State Department of Transportation. ATVs would not be permitted on highways except on designated crossings. Cities could allow the ATVs on certain highways within their jurisdiction. Critics of the bill say ATVs aren't made for road travel, and passing the law could increase the potential for accidents. Officials of the Iowa Department of Natural Resources say it's been 10 years since the DNR and the Food Bank of Iowa joined together to promote a new program to help reduce the size of Iowa's deer herd and help Iowans in need receive a healthy meal. The Help Us Stop Hunger or HUSH program allows hunters to donate any legally harvested deer to a participating locker as a way to encourage hunters to harvest more deer. Lockers process the donated deer into ground venison in specially labeled 2-pound packages that are picked up by the local food bank and distributed within a community. HUSH lockers have processed 56,000 donated deer, providing more than 11 million meals since the program began. The program exemplifies Iowans helping Iowans. Jim Coffey, who coordinates the HUSH program for the DNR, says they asked their hunters to harvest additional deer to reduce the herd size, and the HUSH program gave them an option to donate the additional venison to help their fellow Iowans in need. He says that we gave them, or rather, a lot of lockers who enjoy the program and participate in it because it supports their local community. Carrie Miller, executive director of the Food Bank of Iowa, says they're grateful for the partnership and program, and says it has helped put a high-protein, low-fat product into the hands of hungry Iowans. Since its inception, the program has served an important role to help reduce the deer herd, but that role will be changing. As the deer population approaches the management goal, the program will not be used as much for population control as it will be for certain situations, like hunters wanting to support their local food bank or for hunters participating in special population management hunts at urban areas or park settings. The Iowa program is viewed nationally as one to emulate. In states from Hawaii to Nebraska call on Coffee looking for the recipe to replicate Iowa's success. Every deer license sold includes a $1 fee that supports the HUSH program. The program is administered through the Fish and Wildlife Trust Fund of the DNR. Lockers are paid $75 for each deer, a HUSH deer processed, and participation in the program is voluntary. In 2012, some 89 lockers participated in the HUSH program. The Food Bank of Iowa received $5 per deer to pick up and distribute medicine. And more information about the HUSH program is available online at www.iowadnr.gov. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, there's an indication today that higher taxes and weak hiring have made consumers more cautious about spending. The government says retail sales fell in March from February by the most in 9 months. The decline was a seasonally adjusted 0.4%. Secretary of State John Kerry is delivering a stark warning to North Korea not to test fire a mid-range missile. Kerry, who's been meeting with South Korean leaders in Seoul, says the North and its young leader would only increase their isolation if they launched a missile that U.S. officials believe could reach the U.S. territory of Guam. Tornado watches remain in effect for parts of the Carolinas as a powerful spring storm that brought tornadoes to the Midwest and deep south moves northward. Golfers in Augusta, Georgia are keeping an eye on the storm as they prepare to play in the second day of the Masters at Augusta National. The Florida parents accused of kidnapping their young sons and taking them by boat to Cuba are scheduled to appear in court in Tampa again today for a hearing to determine whether they'll have to stay in jail while awaiting trial. Police say Joshua Haken broke into his mother-in-law's home last week, tied her up, grabbed the boys ages 4 and 2, and then fled to Cuba by boat along with his wife, Sharon. Cuba sent the family back. The maternal grandparents have had custody of the boys. And a bipartisan immigration bill that could be introduced to the Senate next week could exclude thousands of immigrants in the country illegally from eventually becoming U.S. citizens. A Senate aide with knowledge of the proposal said the bill would bar anyone who arrived in the U.S. after the end of 2011 from applying for legal status, and applicants would have to show they're financially stable enough to not have to eventually rely on welfare. News time is 8:11.
Your spouse is frustrated, and you're not sure what you've done to warrant the cold shoulder and snippy retorts. At work, it seems like everyone else has a handle on the new project and is forging ahead, but you're struggling because you didn't quite catch the details on what you're supposed to do. Or maybe you feel left out when everyone in your coffee group laughs at the same time, but you don't get it. Did you miss something? This is Doug Leonard, audiologist at ASI. I hear these stories as patients finally come to the realization that they're missing out. The unfortunate part of the story is that I said finally. For whatever reason, many people believe that their difficulty isn't that big of a deal, or it's because of the actions of others. They mumble, they don't look at me when they speak, or any of a number of other excuses. But what they don't realize is that it's their hearing that's the problem. The sooner they take action to correct it, the shorter the rehab process will be, and the sooner their frustrations will fade. It starts with a simple evaluation. Call ASI today, with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll.
In the funeral announcements, Ed Van Tyker, age 98, of Manning, died Sunday at Mercy Hospital in Des Moines. A massive Christian burial service for Ed Van Tyker will be today at 10:30 at the Sacred Heart Church in Manning. Odie Funeral Home in Manning has the arrangements. Eugene Gene Westfall, age 89, of Fontenelle, died Tuesday at the Good Samaritan Society in Fontenelle. Celebration of life services for Gene Westfall will be this afternoon at 1:30 at St. John's Catholic Church in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle has the arrangements. Florence Christofferson, age 87, of Atlantic, died Wednesday at the Heritage House. A service for Florence Christofferson will be on Saturday at 10 o'clock at the St. Peter and Paul Catholic Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Service of Atlantic has the arrangements. John Headley, age 81, of Guthrie Center, died Saturday in Mission, Texas. Funeral services for John Headley will be tomorrow at 10:30 at the First Christian Church in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center has arrangements. James Jensen, age 72, of Kimberly City, Missouri, and formerly of Audubon, died December 20th. Celebration of Life Memorial Services for James Jensen will be tomorrow at 1 o'clock at the Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon. James Schumann, age 88, of Avoca, died Wednesday at Avoca Nursing and Rehab. Memorial services for James Schumann will be held Monday at 11 o'clock at the Pauli Jones Funeral Home in Avoca. And Deborah J. Studelberg, age 47, of Exira, died Thursday at the Cass County Hospital. Funeral services for Deborah Studelberg will be held Tuesday at 1 o'clock at the Eastside Christian Church in Council Bluffs. Kessler Funeral Home in Exira has the arrangements. The news and funeral announcements were brought to you this hour by ASI Audiology and Hearing Instruments at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.